Bible says the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Must be saved.
Amen. I appreciate this opportunity to come and worship with you one more time. I'm looking for the time when to be fulfilled what I used to hear Brother and Sister Huggins sing many years ago when all of God's singers get home.
Right.
And everybody's going to be happy over there. That's what the song said.
Right.
I meet a few God's people down here, and I think to myself, when I think of that song, Brother Huggins, they're going to have to do a little change between here and there. They don't have to be too happy down here.
Come on.
Praise God. You know, Jesus said, I give you some joy, and I want my joy to remain in you, and
yes.
I want to be full.
Right.
Hallelujah.
If you're full of joy, there's not much room for anything else.
Yes. Come on.
Amen. I'm going to have me a good time.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
I decided a long time ago, if I listened to the devil, I never would be happy.
No.
Man.
Praise God. He's the liar and the father of it.
Yes.
He came to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
And he came to give me life.
Hallelujah.
And he said, I have it more abundantly. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm living, and I appreciate the fact that God has given me more than my share of His blessing.
Come on.
I don't deserve it, but I'm glad for His grace, and I'm glad for His mercy. I just enjoyed this singing tonight. Bless my soul.
Right.
Even the only thing about that canned music, when you get to really want to go with it, it's all of it.
Right.
Kind of like them canned biscuits. I never get used to them. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, I like to hear God's people glorify the Lord.
Yes.
Whether it's in music, testifying, worship and praise, whatever it is.
Right.
God said, let everything have breath. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
God found me several years ago down here a few miles in Baldwin County. I was lost as lost could be.
Yes.
Wasn't old enough to get into a lot of meanness. No telling what I'd have got into if God hadn't delivered me in time.
Come on.
But in 1941, my Aunt Pearl and my Uncle Charlie and a couple of my cousins was riding down a little country lane out from Fairhope, Brother Tubbs. And there were some people having a prayer meeting in a house. Now, they were having a house church, I guess. They didn't have any building. And it was a summer night. Windows were down in that old Model A. My uncle, several of them were in World War II at that time. I guess it was about maybe spring or early summer of 42. But anyway, I heard some folks singing, I'll fly away. And I said to my kinfolks, I said, what is that? I wasn't about 7 or 8 years old. And they said, that's some of them holy rollers. And I said to myself, man, there's something about that singing.
Something about it.
It got all over
something me. About it. Something
I was
about it.
Young, never heard it before. See, the church that I was in and the religion that I practiced was a very formal and I guess you call mainstream, mainline, whatever. But it was dead as last year's bird nest. And some of my kin folks, you know, they had positions in the church, and I got to thinking as I listened to them. They did pretty good on Sunday. They could go all day and did pretty good. But come Monday,
watch out.
They didn't have enough to last them till next Sunday.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Listen now.
And of course, the preacher told us we had to sin. I remember that distinctly. He said, you can't help but sin. And I had some uncles that really believed that. I mean, they really made me believe that they believed what the preacher said. They didn't try too much to live without it. And they practiced it pretty well. But that's what we were taught. Praise God.
Listen
now. I got around some Holy Ghost filled people. And I heard them singing, I'll fly away.
Ooh, I'll fly away.
And they had another one that said, just over in the glory land.
Oh, man.
And the way they sung it, I'm telling you, ooh, it got
listen.
A hold of my heart.
Hey, listen now.
About 5 or 6 years later, they came in front of a brush arbor right across my daddy's farm. And right on the corner there, where my Uncle John Bishop lives today, that's in 1948, Brother Ard.
Yeah.
And they put up that old brush arbor, hung up some gas lanterns around there, just pumped them things up. I don't know if you ever used those or not. But how many of you folks remember those days that I'm talking about?
Amen.
And there wasn't a bishop, never had been a bishop that lived for God. I mean, really lived for God. And so they came down in that country and got to preaching. Brother G.R. Latham, Brother N.B. Goss, Brother S.J. Davis, and all those fellows. They just, I mean, they preached. They preached heaven was high and sin was black. And hell was on fire, just waiting for the next customer.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, they told us it was holiness or hell. I mean, that's just the way they preached.
Right, yes.
And got our attention, I can tell you that.
Right.
So I eased over there, because they got to sing them same songs again that I had heard about 5 or 6 years later. I'll fly away.
All right.
Praise God.
I'll fly away.
You know what? The Holy Ghost conviction fell in that country.
Hallelujah.
And those folks got to shout. I mean, they had church like I had never seen church.
Right.
See, the first time I was around them, in a house, and I didn't know what they were doing. I just knew they were making a lot of noise.
Thank
and all that singing got a hold of me.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Come on.
When they got an open-air meeting, you could really tell
right. They
had church a whole lot different than what we had down at our place.
Yes.
Praise God. Because it didn't take us very long to have church.
Right.
We didn't have a shouting service.
Hallelujah.
And we didn't have much prayer meeting because one fellow got up, deacon got up and prayed. He prayed for all of us.
Right.
We didn't know how. And we thought he was the man supposed to do it, you know. And they had about 3 songs and about a 20-minute sermon. And never had no baptizing. I never saw them baptize anybody in the church I was in. Four sprinkled immersion, nothing else.
No.
Praise God. So it didn't take us long to have church.
No.
But I'm telling you, them folks, it took them a while to have church.
Yes, having church.
Hallelujah. I mean, testimony service lasted longer than our whole service did.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I said, boy, this is something else.
Right.
And I got to mingle around those folks. And the more I got around them, the more I knew they had something
right. That
I didn't have.
Right. Yeah.
Praise God. They wouldn't talk about anybody. Go out to the potato thing. We hired someone to work for us on the farm out there, and they sang all day long. And I've never been around nobody that happy, Brother Art. I mean, they just
sang
it. I mean, they're really happy.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. You couldn't get one of them to cuss. You couldn't get one of them to swear or nothing else.
Yeah.
I mean, they really had something.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. And, you know, the cow coming out of the cooking bird field and went across the face and was milking the cow, and they say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, where I was raised, we didn't say thank you, Jesus, when all these things happened.
Yeah.
And the mule kicked you and all that. And I knew right away they had something.
They
but my kinfolk said, now you don't need to get around that
don't
too much.
Get around that much.
Praise God. Said, you see, mosquitoes came in down there in July and went around with them spray cans spraying all around there. And they told them folks that they got something in that spray can that gets on them people and makes them act so strange. So they just shout and they just carry on. So I don't know what they got in them spray cans. But said, you don't need to get around that.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But I soon found out one thing. What they had didn't come out of a spray can.
Yeah.
It came right out of the glory of God. Hallelujah to God. And it fell out of heaven and got out inside of me. And I've never been the same since. Praise God. Well, it's old time religion. And it makes me love everybody.
Yeah.
Praise God. It'll make you love your enemies when you get it right. Can I hear an amen? It'll make you pray for those that despitefully use you.
Yeah.
When you really got it, and it's got you.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes folks get it, they don't get them.
Yeah.
But I think it's time the Holy Ghost took control of us.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, it can't be his church. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you, once again, that God's been good to me and my family and all of them living for God. I married a good Holy Ghost woman in northern Mississippi, and been pastoring the same folks for 32 years, and that's a miracle within itself. Praise God that they put up with me that long.
Yeah.
That is a miracle.
That is a miracle.
Hallelujah. But I was thinking tonight about this singing. Every time I get around where folks are singing, worshiping God, my oldest son loves music. He used to play guitar, and he got into music so far, and he became a music director, song director, and minister of music in a large church. Has about 100 voice choir. And every time I get to visit that church, they have about 600, 700 attendance. And I just sit out there, Brother Curtis, and I just kind of had to weep to think about where that I was and where that God brought us from that knew nothing about God and nothing about Bible, real Bible truth. And to sit out and watch that boy of mine and direct 100 voices and ring out in that big tabernacle and glorify God.
Oh,
I was there a few Sundays ago. And that choir got to singing on Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost began to fall, and folks ran down there and gave their life to God. Still, the Holy Ghost right during the worship of the praise service.
Oh,
they had to baptize and folks. They asked me to preach. Well, they had 6 or 8 filled the Holy Ghost where I got 10 to preach. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about praise and worship.
Praise.
That will touch God and touch me. Hallelujah. God is still God.
Yes.
He may not be where you've been, but I'm telling you, God is
still on the throne.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. And I'm just glad tonight we have victory. And you can have anything from God you want if you want it bad enough.
Right.
God has made everything, every promise in this book belongs to you.
Right.
It's available.
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. There is no shortage with God. In the book of Acts chapter 2, let me share a few things with you tonight. I don't want to keep you past 12 because I know somebody probably got to work tomorrow. Anybody got to work? And these sisters, we got it made. But sisters, I know they're not going nowhere. So we got it made. Anybody here have to work tomorrow?
Amen.
All right, we got 4 or 5 back there. I never have preached over 2.5 hours. Really, I was just talking about 12 o'clock. I never have preached over 2.5 hours, so that'll only be 11:20. Praise God. Can we stand in Jesus' name? It's good to see brothers and sisters there. Again, these folks are precious. Been here and working in this church for a long, long time. And God is so good to us. I believe the Lord's going to speak to us tonight.
Come on,
yeah,
don't talk to us.
But there's some needs in this room. I was worshiping the Lord over there, and I appreciate these men getting up here and singing. I'm telling you, I don't give you a story of last week, folks. When you get in and get busy.
Yes.
Don't sit around and look on for 5 or 10 years
yes.
and decide whether this is for you or not. This is it.
This is it.
I mean, this is it. Nothing else is coming by. Praise yes. God. This is what Jesus yes. bled and died for.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it blessed my soul, and the Lord dealt with me. And I may not just do exactly what I had in mind earlier, but I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost tonight.
Come
but
on,
there's some needs in this room.
Come on, my God.
Amen.
Amen. I said there's some needs
my
in this room
God.
Tonight.
Yes. Yes.
And then somebody is hurting inside. And I'm here to tell you that God is a healer of the body, and God is a healer of the soul.
Yes.
God can mend your broken heart tonight. God can give you courage when you're discouraged.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And then God can lift you up and make you strong in those places and those areas of your life that are weak. And I don't know of any of us tonight that don't need a touch from heaven. We're in a pressing time. We're in a very dangerous and perilous time. We're in the days that the apostles and the prophets wrote about. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
I believe we're in the latter part
Come
of the last
on.
Days. And this thing is happening on the international scene. And I'm not going to preach on Bible prophecy tonight. But I'm telling you, friend, it's not really scary. I won't use that term. But it lets me know one thing. The things we preached about 20, 30, 35 years ago and the old-timers preached about, and we're staring it right in the face. It's not down the road. It's not around the corner. We're looking at the very thing that those men of God told us was going to come. And God said when they declare peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon this world. Time is running out. If you've got a backslidden son or daughter, brother or sister, mom or dad or anybody, any neighbor, anywhere, let me tell you, you ought to pray and bombard heaven like you've never prayed before. Because I feel tonight to tell you in the Holy Ghost, there's not a lot of time left. Amen. The sun is sinking in this generation, in this hour. Amen. In this dispensation of time, Jesus Christ is going to come back.
Yes.
Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
And God said, in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Notice, I want to preach to you while tonight by the grace and help of God. From Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible said they, that is the early church, the disciples in Jerusalem, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. Everybody say together.
Together.
And had all things common. Notice that. Sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now I'm telling you, they had something. They had something out of heaven. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord and the church daily, such as should be saved. Our God and our Savior, tonight we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm asking God for heaven's anointing tonight. I'm asking for Holy Ghost direction this night. I'm asking you, Lord, to reach out into the bosom of men and women, boys and girls in this room tonight. For we're your children, O God. Lord, we're the seed of Abraham. And we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, through the new birth and, Lord, the circumcision of the heart tonight. Operating on the Holy Ghost, I'm asking you, God, the Lord, to give us what we need. Feed our soul with food that is convenient tonight. Bless these precious pastors that have come, and these saints of God that have come tonight and made a sacrifice And I'm asking you, O Lord, to let something move out of glory in this service. God, that I recognize your honor and your glory. The Lord, that the will of God might be done. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all the church said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. Thank the Lord. Yeah, I might use that in a few minutes, but I'm kind of locked in up here. May have to jump over that banister. I don't know. Praise God. I may not do a lot of aisle running. I don't know. Sometimes I do different ways. But as long as we hear from heaven, that's the important thing. I want to just try my best to communicate tonight with you for a little while. And I know that God's Word is the most precious thing this side of eternity.
Come on.
Amen. If we have any direction, if we make it and hear Him say, well done, it'll be because that we have listened to it. And we have read and we have been serious about obeying the Word of God.
All right. Amen.
There's a lot of people doing a lot of things in the name of religion. But I'm here to tell you tonight, unless we come back to the foundation of the apostles, unless we do it God's way, it's all in vain.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And I want you to understand tonight, and I thank you all you folks are apostolic, but sometimes it's easy to drift.
Come on.
And it's easy to go to the right or to
the
left.
Come on.
And there's a lot of things being done in the name of religion. And people worship. But Jesus said they're teaching for their doctrine the commandments of men, and they worship God in vain. So just the going through the motion of worship is not altogether what it's going to take. It's not going to meet every demand of God. We've got to worship Him as the Scripture has said.
Amen.
We've got to believe on Him as the Scripture has said.
Yes. Right.
Most inner religion that you would like to communicate with today and interview and talk about, they'll tell you they have some belief in God. Amen. But you see, what is very important is to believe on Him as the Scripture had said.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I want to believe on Him like the Scripture has said.
Yes.
Amen. Not like Grandma believes it necessarily, unless she believes it like the Scripture said.
Yes.
Praise God. Now notice the Bible said, take a second look at the first church. They continued steadfast. Now I don't have time to do this justice tonight, because I know that time is precious. But if you'll stay with me for a few moments, I do have something to share with you.
Come on.
They continued. This is the people. This is the seed of Abraham. These were folks that went to the synagogue regularly. These were people that read and studied the law of Moses. And that they came to Jerusalem. The Lord had told His followers, tarry in this city. This is where it's going to happen. Not in Samaria. Not in Nazareth, the place where He grew up, or over in Bethlehem where He was born. But He said, this is where I want you.
Right.
A lot of times, God's people get hung up on tradition. They get hung up on a lot of things. But I believe that we got to hear God's voice for this hour.
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate the Brush Arbor days, but I know one thing. I'll never go back to the Brush Arbor.
No.
Amen. I'll never go back to the storefront. We're living in the 90s. We're not even in the 80s anymore. We're in the decade, amen, of deliverance. I really believe this is it. This is our time. And God said, Of all these people had traveled and followed the Lord. Many of them followed Him village after village.
Right.
But He said, listen, now it's time for you to sit right here. I want you in Jerusalem. This is where it's going to happen. Did you know that God's got a place for you in this hour?
What?
God might have had a place for you 40 years ago, 20 years ago. I'm talking about spiritually now. Amen. But are you where God wants you to be now?
Now.
Praise God. It's not where all the landmarks you have been by, but it's where am I tonight? God said now, amen, I'm going to do a new thing, and this is going to start in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You tarry right here in this city until you are endued with power from on high. Praise God. Now, you see, a lot of good folks might have been doing a lot of good things in other places, but the Holy Ghost fell in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
And those that did not stay around there,
right,
they missed it.
Come on.
Listen. 120. He said, I'm going to give you power from on high. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. The Bible said, if you get out of the grave, you appear to 500 brethren at one time. So I know there were hundreds of people that saw Him in His glorified body.
Yes.
And you would think, surely, if you can see the Lord glorified,
right,
and He asked you to stay in Jerusalem, that surely to God that was a reasonable request, and that nothing would interfere, nothing would get in your way. But I'm here to tell you that somewhere along those few days of time, several hundred got sidetracked.
All right.
Only 120 made it to the upper room.
All right, listen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. It doesn't take much time for you to miss the will of God.
Right.
Some people are still living on 10 years ago's experiences and 10 years ago prayer meetings. That won't get it done, honey. You got to have it right now.
Hallelujah.
He is a right now God.
Come on.
Hey, now, somebody now pray. He's the great I am. God is always in the present tense. You can't live on memories and you can't live on dreams. Hallelujah. You got to have the substance of the Holy Ghost sent down from the glory world. Hallelujah. And so the Bible said these people continued steadfastly. You know, Jesus said in John 15, you've got to abide. We read that sometime and we concern ourselves a great deal. It does mention about bearing the fruit and more fruit and much fruit and all the degrees of fruit bearing. But what that chapter is really about is just abiding in Him. Because if you abide in Him, you will bear the fruit.
Yes.
Amen. The Lord said it's going to be a natural result of those that abide in Him. Except you abide in the vine. Except He said you abide in me and my words abide in you. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. And so these people here were steadfast in four areas. Number one, in the apostles' doctrine. I don't know how it is in this part of the world, but where I go, there's a lot of folks say, well, we just don't need as much doctrine as we used to. One fellow told me not too long ago that doctrine divides everybody. I said, I thought doctrine brought everybody together. That's what brought me with God's people. They preached me the doctrine. They preached me Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And the only folks I know that doctrine divides are those that don't believe it.
Amen.
Praise God. If everybody believed what the Bible said, it'll all come together.
Yes.
There's one Lord. I still believe there's one Lord.
Yes.
And one faith.
Hallelujah.
And one baptism.
Yes.
That's still in the Bible.
Yes.
Praise God. God never did any of this.
Oh, no.
What the old timers preached, amen, it's still in the book.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All we need to do is just get in the Word of God and just stay on the same foundation we've been on all the time.
Yes.
A lot of folks have been concerned because God was doing things over yonder somewhere. Never did shake me up. Amen. I've always said if God gives anybody the Holy Ghost, amen, if they really get it, they're going to find the same foundation that I found.
Yes. Right.
Well, there's not the one foundation.
Yes.
And no other foundation can no man lay. Than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. I wasn't too a real smart. Amen. God showed this to me. Amen. I figured God showed it to me, showed it to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I don't get nervous when somebody's talking in tongues over yonder. Let them talk in tongues. If they really got the Holy Ghost, God gave it to them.
Yes.
If they got a counterfeit, you don't know about it.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hello.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo, hallelujah.
Yes.
All right.
I haven't got to run over yonder and change my doctrine.
Woo.
Praise God for nobody. Amen. I believe what I always believe.
Yes.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so these folks were steadfast. You know, one of our problems in our modern world today seems like we pick on the young generation a whole lot. But I'll tell you, when we came along in our day, they taught us that when you opened your mouth and you made a vow or a promise or a commitment, stick with it.
Stick with it.
You told a man you was going to work, going to be there at 7 o'clock.
Be there.
Work all day long.
Work.
Praise God. If he left the field, don't you leave at noon and go home and cut out. When he comes back there, be there.
Be there.
That's the way we were raised.
Amen.
Praise God. You got to stay with it.
Woo!
A lot of folks nowadays, I'm telling you, they don't have much stickability.
No, sir.
Either in the church or out of the church.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
But I'm saying if you live for God, you've got to have some steadfastness.
Yes.
Amen. You've got to have some stickability about you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's not going to always be roses and everything going to be, you know, real fancy. These preachers talking about the pie in the sky, you know, and never have a pain, never have a headache, and all that kind of business. I got news for them. There's going to be some pains. Jesus Christ suffered.
Right.
He endured.
Right.
Rejection.
Right.
You hear me now?
Yes.
The Bible said they hated him without a cause.
Right.
Just because you wear the name of Jesus Christ and you got the Holy Ghost living inside of you doesn't make this world, everybody, even so-called believers, everybody's not going to love you all the time.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
There's going to be some dark days you're going to see.
Yes.
But I tell you, the grace of God, amen, is sufficient and you can stay put. You can abide in Him It's the will of God for you to do so. And that's what made this church the church.
Yes. Yes.
They didn't run off someplace because they had a bad day.
Come on.
They put the preachers in jail.
Come on.
Yes. But the church still held together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The preachers didn't backslide because they had a bad day.
Amen.
They beat the blood out of them.
Yes.
Came into God. But you know what they did? They sang songs to Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They didn't have to go get them a lawyer or a politician or nobody else.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. They sang prayer bells of heaven. How sweet they were.
Yes,
sir. Glory to God, and they have a jailhouse rock.
Yes.
Baptize the jailer in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
Woo, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you.
Come on.
This will work because God said it would.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, I hadn't got time to say all about that doctrine, but I love it because it's what saved my soul. They told me about baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins. And it worked for me.
It worked.
Praise God.
It still works, brother.
And the Bible said, not only in doctrine, but in fellowship. You know, somebody called me the other day somewhere out of state. They're having a big old stir going about something. Oh, two different organizations will sue one another up on the northern states. I said, yeah, that's just what apostolics need, is to get before the heathen and have a big lawsuit over a bunch of nonsense, over nothing, like kids playing. We better grow up in God. You see,
yes.
It's one thing to get into Christ,
glory,
and it's another thing to grow up in Him.
Yes.
Amen. Come on.
Yes.
Paul said that you might grow. You get this Word of God inside of you, and you get into Christ, and you grow up in Him into all things. Amen?
Yes.
But that violates the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I learned that a long time ago. Amen. You know that sometimes there's parts of this Bible that we believe and parts of it we don't believe. I believe you've got to believe it all.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
And he said, don't go any further with the law before the heathen.
All right.
Praise God. But let me tell you something. You see, they had fellowship before anybody had a card in their pocket.
Right.
They didn't have to worry about what color the card was and what kind of name it had on it. This whole church that God established in Jerusalem on one foundation, all saved by one name, all saved by one plan, one head of this one church.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
And they all had fellowship.
Yes. Amen.
Now, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Man told me several years ago, he said, come over, let's work up a little fellowship. I said, man, the Holy Ghost I got, you hadn't got to work up. Amen. When I meet you on the street, you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're a child of God. We're already in fellowship.
Yeah.
We haven't got to work nothing up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Yeah.
Praise God. I ain't going to anybody's
yeah.
church where they're preaching this and feeling whole.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Hallelujah. I can sit on the back seat or front seat. I can preach and I can listen. Hallelujah,
yeah.
God. It
yeah.
don't bother me. But I'm in fellowship with God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
And I'm in fellowship with everybody except in fellowship with Him.
Hallelujah.
You know what I tell them at home? If everybody that loved Jesus
yes.
loved everybody else that loved Jesus,
yes.
we can all go to heaven.
Right. Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Because I want you to know one thing. Jesus Christ never came to divide anybody. He prayed in John 17 that we already won.
Right. Yes.
Is that what He said?
Right.
And so they had fellowship. We wonder how in the world Peter could walk down the street just his shadow could heal all those folks. And the Bible said they would heal everyone. They brought the sick
right.
and the lame and all that, unclean spirits that vexed people. And Acts 5:16 said they would heal everyone. I'll tell you how they could do it, because they had perfect unity.
Yes.
And the ones that disrupted that perfect unity, Ananias and Sapphira, God killed them, got them out of the way, and the church kept on moving on. Amen. And so the Bible said they had this fellowship. Didn't make any difference about opinions and ideas and all that kind of business. Perfect fellowship.
Perfect fellowship.
Now this is the church in its infancy. Let me mention some things right quick, because I've seen a lot of things. Pastoring one congregation 32 years, you learn a lot. But this is before that the church had time for, you know, the children to grow up and intermarry in Jerusalem church and get a bunch of in-laws and a lot of hard feelings and a lot of these folks that
watch
you know,
carry
their feelings on the shoulder.
Watch out.
And some of them, you know, they feel like that they didn't get to sing their song or give their testimony, or they didn't get the right kind of pat on the back, the right kind of this and that and the other. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff in this church.
Listen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
They just got the Holy Ghost and love Jesus. Come
yeah.
on.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
They had 5,000. They had 3,000 added in one day.
One day.
Yeah.
A few days later, they had 5,000.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God. Are you hearing me now?
Listen.
And they had about the church from house to house.
Right.
And did nobody split off from the church and go start another church?
No.
Listen.
Thank you, Chief.
There was nobody on an ego trip.
Watch out.
Nobody doing his own thing.
Listen.
Everybody understood that Jesus Christ was the head of a church.
Yeah.
Amen. That God's got a church in Jerusalem, and the Bible said the fear of God was on every one of them.
Everyone.
Do you know what? We have a lot of church problems, and we got people in the same organization, in the same town that can't get along. Somebody's lost the fear of God. Somebody don't love God like they want to have him. Amen to God. I'm telling you, when we came in and folks talked about us and people persecuted us, we loved one another. You go to somebody's house and they wouldn't let you leave until you had a prayer meeting in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you go out in my house now that you can't hardly catch anybody praying.
Amen.
Watch your carnality among preachers.
Right.
On the telephone, I know one fellow runs a phone bill of $300 a month. He can't hold everything in the country going on. I think, my God, I got more New York than I can see after. I don't care what they're doing in Boston or Miami or Dallas or nowhere else. Praise God. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, we're living in an age of carnality.
Right.
We're living in a time when a lot of the people of God are backslidden heart, don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And they're going through the motion, and evangelists go, they're trying to have a revival, and you can't have a move of God. Why? Because when you sin against God and violate this Bible, you lose power with God. And you're not going to get that power back until you repent and get it out of your heart.
Yeah.
And remain lined up with heaven. Hallelujah!
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy! You can't have power with God.
Amen.
Yeah. And transgress God's law. No way you can do that.
Amen.
The Bible said, notice, they were in fellowship. I've had them to swap cars in the church, come crying on the pastor. Well, I bought an old car from Brother So-and-so. The transmission went out a week later, and I think he'll make it right. What do you think, Pastor? They draw you in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And you didn't have nothing to do with none. You didn't even make a commission on the
sale.
You
had a car.
Praise God. And maybe if you take sides with either one of them, you're going to be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a no-win situation.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah.
This is before any of that came about.
Amen.
They had church.
Hallelujah.
They love God.
Love God.
Amen. I don't get things swap donkeys. Praise God. They just went to church and love Jesus.
Just give it away.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't get ahead of me. I'm going to get to that. Praise God. But I'm talking about fellowship, folks. Did you know we got churches in America, apostolic, so-called Pentecostal.
Come on, now.
They'll come in and some will sit on this side and some on that side.
Right, yes. Right.
They called me in a few years ago in a business meeting, and it was as cold as it ever got in Alaska.
Right.
In that church.
Right.
I wasn't going about the weather either. And I walked in there and I said, my God, boy, they have got problems here. I mean, carnality was treetop tall. I mean, it was wall to wall in that place. And I said to somebody, what is going on? And so we said over there, they said, well, you see them folks back on this side? I said, yeah, I see them. We said, every one of them hates all these on this other side. And I looked them over, and you could pretty well tell.
Yeah, they hate them.
They wouldn't even look at each other. But let's shake hands.
Yeah.
And it's calling a Christian church. Calling the Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
Tongue-talking church. And everybody on this side lined up, took issues. And hated everybody on this side. Nobody talking. Now you think you can have a Holy Ghost revival? You think you're going to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ in your city or your community with that kind of business going on?
Oh God, listen.
I'm telling you, folks, I'm shooting straight the shoulder tonight.
Shoot.
I'm praying, God, whatever it takes, get rid of this Laodicean spirit.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with a lot of God's people? At least they can't pray and seek God and fast and get to the house of God when the lights are turned on, they have lost their burden.
They've lost their burden.
If you get them to pray 5 minutes, you've done pretty good.
Amen.
Let me tell you how the elders did when I came in.
Yeah.
You know what got a hold of this boy's heart? When I heard Brother White W. McVay, and I heard Brother S.K. Davis, and I heard Brother Newland Dawson in those tiny woods about sundown, amen, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I heard them having a prayer meeting in a pine grove. Amen. Hour at a time. Amen. And I heard them having church. And I'd get out there, Brother Lord, and I'd hear those people sing. And I'd hear them shout and glorify God. And they was calling prayer. Amen. Calling on the name of their God. Amen. The preacher came. Didn't eat a meal for 2 weeks. And they said he hadn't eaten a thing since he got here. It got a hold of me. Amen. The Holy Ghost conviction fell in our community and wouldn't let me go. And I ended up with an old-fashioned altar. And They came there with one thing in mind,
yes.
And that was having a move of God.
Yes.
Because there were some souls in that place that God wanted to save.
Hallelujah.
Is anybody listening to me?
Come on.
Yeah. Hallelujah to God. The Bible said, not only in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers,
amen.
They sat down and broke bread.
Right.
This man said something in the early part of the church. I believe it's brother Philip, brother somebody. We better slow down long enough to have church.
Right.
We better slow down long enough to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
We are not of this world out here.
Amen.
And I told my folks not long ago, we used to think that dipping snuff and chewing tobacco, that was of the world. And boy, we said, man, you can't do that and live for Jesus. And I still believe that.
Amen.
There's a whole lot more of this thing of this world than dipping snuff and chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, there's a spirit of materialism.
Right.
There's a spirit of giving. There's a spirit that I unfulfilled. People cannot be satisfied. This generation has got more toys to play with and enjoying life less than any generation has ever been on this planet.
Right. Yes.
Listen to the Spirit got hold of these folks. The Bible said they were all together.
They were all
together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Peter and John were together.
Together.
It's hard to get folks together anymore.
Together.
If you even get their warm bodies here, it's hard to get their minds together.
Right.
You said we want to play the fellowship, Paul. What do y'all think about a light blue? No, I think we ought to have green.
Amen.
Somebody said, I think it ought to be pink. No, you don't want pink the fellowship, Paul. That makes your temper go up. I don't think deal with that. It's hard to get folks together.
Yes.
Amen. Right.
I'm saying, maybe I'm just preaching folks from Mississippi.
Come on. It's all right.
I said to some folks not too long ago, I said, my God, what difference does it make? Paint your classroom red, white, and blue.
Yes.
I hardly ever go in there. I mean, I don't care. We had somebody at the theme church years ago about somebody on the platform, and I guess some of their kinfolks wasn't up there or something. I said, do you think it matters to me what their name is? I don't play favorites. Never have. I stand before God with clean hands and say that I have never played favorites in 32 years.
Listen.
Amen. I tell my folks, you might be a superintendent. You might be a supervisor. You might be a bank president or whatever position you have out there in that world system. But when you walk through the doors of the house of God, I want you to understand that the ground around the cross that I preach is level ground, and everybody is on the same level. There are no big eyes in the middle of you. Praise God. And you might give orders out to them where you are. But when you come in here, you receive instruction from the Word of God like everybody else.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
We all eat around the same table. Hallelujah. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. God. You don't run God's church like you run a banking institution.
Amen.
You don't run this like they run General Motors. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't run this, friend. Amen. Like a corporate world runs there.
Yes.
Amen. I'm telling you that God's church is a spiritual institution,
yes,
operated by the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've had to set folks around that had kinfolks all over the church.
Yes.
And boy, you could feel resentment. But I settled down anyhow.
Yes.
And I said, now folks, you can break through a victory, or you can stay carnal. But the church is going to move on.
Right.
Praise God. And the church is still moving on.
Church still moving on.
Hallelujah. I've got a young man, Brother Tubbs knows him. Brother Dean O'Graham, he wouldn't mind me telling you. He's a United Pentecostal Church in Orlando, Florida. I guess they run 300-400 down there. And he grew up in our church, had 6 years of college, a music major. He writes it, sings it, plays it, does everything. I mean, you made it, he can do it. But there came a time, with all of his talent, I had to set him down. And I could tell that his mother, she didn't say anything because she fears God, but I could feel that, because that's my boy, my baby boy. But I'll tell you what he did. He stood up about 6 months later, with tears running down his face. I wasn't rude. I wasn't no lord. I wasn't no dictator. I handled it with all the kindness, but I had to take a stand.
Yeah.
But he stood up, Brother Huggins, with tears running down his face. And he said, I thank God for my pastor. He got the medals and stuff. He had no business meddling in.
Yeah.
And I said, it's time for you to rest a while.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, because God can provide us some music, and we're going to worship God without you for a while. You just sit there, and I'll watch your spirit, and I'll watch your attitude, and if you conquer this thing, amen, by the love of God, and we'll help you pray, and he appreciated it. Some other folks didn't, but he did.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And he'll tell you today one of the best things he ever had in his life. Because today he's 26 years old. Amen. Going for God, doing a tremendous thing. Came back later, and we paid him the church to be our full-time music director. And I mean, it was one of the greatest things, a blessing. But sometimes, when you have to take a stand for the Word of God, you just got to stand.
Come on.
See, God didn't call me to win a popularity contest. Amen. He called me to preach the Word.
Yes. Amen.
Preach
your word.
Praise God.
Yes.
I said he called me to preach the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And sometimes, if you don't think the devil's at the folks who can get up here got any talent, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil will pick on them quicker than he will anybody I know of.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Anything that goes on this platform up here, you are a target. You better learn how to pray it fast and seek God.
Yes.
Because if there's any way the devil can make you carnal, and he'll do it. I'll promise you that.
Amen. Yes.
Praise God. But listen to me. The Bible said this church, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believers together had all things common. Yes. And listen to this. They sold their possessions.
Sold.
Now that blows me away. I just cannot. You know, I'm in 1990. I was raised. I'm a product of the Depression. Praise God. Anybody here remember the Depression?
Yes, sir.
A few of you do. My uncle said, he said, we were the poor, that poor folks looked down on us. I don't remember, he was a little older than me. But we were all poor together, I guess. But there were a few rich kids that I went to school with, and I always envied them, because they lived in big old brick houses and had them pretty fancy lawns over there in Fairhope. And I once in a while, I get a chance to go over and play in their yard. And I thought, boy, this is something. Man, I'm over here in the Courtney's yard. I mean, they were filthy rich. And if you can be filthy rich, but they were rich. But let me tell you, when you come up like that, and when we've seen a lot of things change in the last 30, 40 years. And I can remember when God's people, for the most part, lived in a frame house.
Right.
As Wendy Bagley said, they had four rooms and a path. That's about it.
Right.
And a lot of them were sharecroppers, didn't even own anything.
Right.
And if they had an automobile, when they got to the house of God, they had it full and kids' heads sticking out every window.
Every window.
I mean, you didn't see just one person go to church in a car.
Yeah.
I mean, it was loaded down in a Pentecostal church.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes.
Because if you were fortunate to have a car, you felt like that God was good enough to give it to you, and you want to get everybody the chance to say something you can get.
Yeah.
But you go check on the parking lot today when they park them. Because we're coming one car, wife and another. That's the way they do it at home. He'll drive the pickup, and she'll drive the limousine, or car, or whatever. Hello?
Yes.
They got a teenager, they got their own car.
Right.
Nobody brings anybody to church. I go about for the most part.
Right.
Yes. If you got folks doing that, if you got a ministry going and folks are hauling folks to the house of God in the car, you better thank God.
Yes. Right.
Because most places I go, everybody is looking out for number one, and they don't nobody ride with them and stall in their seats.
Right.
Yes.
Listen, don't tell them how many automobiles I've worn out in the last 30-something years.
Hallelujah.
I've been hitting them mud holes, going out on gravel roads, bringing folks in to the house of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
But let me tell you, that's not the spirit today.
No, sir.
We are living in the day that number one is what counts.
Amen.
First, 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times are here. Men are lovers of their own selves.
Right. Yes.
They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Are you hearing me tonight?
Right. Yes.
Praise God. And the Bible said just the opposite. This church, they had too many things that got in their way. They just sold it. They didn't want anything. They didn't want anything to get in their way and hinder them from serving God.
Yes.
And they had houses and land. They just said, well, I don't need that 40. I'm going to sell that. And they brought the money down and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Laid it at the apostles' feet.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Oh.
But you know what the trend is today? I can remember in those plank houses back there. And if you got a house built back in the 40s and the 50s and had a little closet about that wide, boy, you had some, had your own closet. My daddy built a house just before I left home, and he forgot to put any closets in it. We didn't have enough clothes to worry about, hardly. But he had to go back later and go in the corner and build a closet in the bedrooms. Anybody remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And the closet was about 3 foot wide.
Right.
If you had plenty of room, had a pair of work shoes and one pair of Sunday shoes. If you had two or three dress shirts, you'd been pretty good.
Amen.
Praise God.
Listen.
But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know in my house, I don't know how many closets we got. We got a walk-in secret closet. We got closets down the hall. We got closets in the laundry room. We got closets in every bedroom. My wife's got a big closet about 8 foot on her side. I got one over here on my side. And there's so much junk in there, you can't hardly get another shirt in there. You have to push and push to get something in there when you take something out.
Listen.
And my wife, I said, what are you going to wear? She had them doors thrown open there, and that thing was just, I mean, and she's just typical.
Yeah.
She's no different than anybody else. I ain't got nothing to wear. I don't know what I'm going to wear. And I said, woman, my God. What do you mean? What is all this?
Preach it. Come on, preach it.
I was at Bible school one day, and he and his fiance was graduating, and they were trying to get ready to get moved out of the dormitory, and the girl was sweet over there, and we was helping Sandra get some of her stuff together. And I walked in there, and she and her sister had 62 pairs of shoes. In Bible school. I don't know how many they had back in college. And I thought, my God, how much? I can remember they prayed if I had two pairs.
Yeah.
Man, I'd have been shouting.
Yeah.
When I started preaching, I didn't even have one whole suit. I had to wear a mismatch.
Right.
Praise God. I was like, I finally got me one suit when I was in Columbus, Georgia, preaching a revival over there, and went to a second-hand store. Got it for $10.
Right.
I was like J.D. Sumner. I had a suit for every day in the week, and that was it.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, I'm talking about a spirit that's got a hold of God's
yes,
people
sir.
In 1990.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And not only have we got our closets full, but we're having to rent a place to store it.
Many stores.
They give you the key.
Yeah.
They build them all over New Albany.
Right,
every town you go into. People's got so much stuff they can't keep it in their house. They got to go find a place to rent a storage building
right,
to put
right,
it in.
Right. Come on.
They got toys to play with. Men are worse than the children.
Yes.
I mean, they got jet skis. They got boats. They got motors. My God, they got softball equipment. They got tennis equipment. They got golfing equipment. They got so much junk. They got to store it somewhere. It beats anything I've ever seen in my lifetime.
That's right.
And go to the house of God and try to raise something for missionary on the building fund?
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
Hello.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And you wonder why we're not having a revival.
Yeah.
Amen. And we thought that all that worldliness was how you looked on the outside.
Yeah.
I still believe in outward holiness.
Amen. Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you one thing. When God said love not the world, He's talking about the world.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
And there's a spirit. I'm going to tell you one thing. I travel around, and I've got some folks that's pretty close to me and a family, and if they don't get to the mall about 4 days a week, they've had a bad week.
Listen.
Boy, it's getting quiet, man.
Oh, come on.
Hallelujah.
But we don't have camping.
Yeah, we have camping.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm serious. I know of some of these young women that's under 35. If they don't get to the mall at least 4 days a week, they've had a bad week. They've been deprived.
Right. Yeah.
They said, I didn't get to go shop today.
No.
I said, that's pitiful. Such persecution. My God, that's persecution. I don't know how that early church would have stood on under that.
Yeah.
But these folks, they were selling it.
Yeah, they were selling it.
Sold houses, land, everything. Get out of here. I don't need anything.
Yeah.
Praise God. Just having food to live. Paul said, be content.
He said,
I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased.
Yeah.
I know how to have a whole lot. He was a tent maker. He hired other folks to work for him. He had Luke's position working with him. He knew what it was to be in jail and not have anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he had the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He had Jesus in his soul.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
He didn't have to have a lot of material possessions and say, my money and my car and my land and my CD and my this and my that. Let me tell you, God in heaven, Jesus Christ, when He came here, He was rich, but He became poor. Amen. That He might be an example to you and I, that we in turn might could be made rich. My God, help us tonight, friend. Amen. There's a fine spirit that gets a hold of the church of the living God that gets in our way of revival.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Before the flood, they were buying and selling. Is that what the book says?
Right.
They were planning. They were building.
Yeah.
marrying and getting in marriage. You can't hardly get the people of God to, you know, when I came in, the revival lasted 7 weeks. But Lord, I got the Holy Ghost in the fifth week.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. At church every night.
Yes.
They never even heard of a rest night.
Amen.
Back in 1948.
Yes.
They didn't know what a rest night was.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello?
Yes.
You know how the modern Pentecostal church has a Bible? They'll have it Sunday through Wednesday.
Yes.
Or Wednesday through Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
If you get it four nights in a row, you have had some kind of meeting.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And I'm not exaggerating. I know exactly what I'm talking
yes.
about.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
I've had pastors say, look, I found out I can have it first of the week, Sunday through Wednesday. But if I try to have it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I can't get nobody to come. I'm talking about churches that's got nice, beautiful buildings. I'm talking about churches that on Sunday morning they'll run 200 or 300.
Yes.
But you hear them on Thursday, Friday night trying to have something, and you won't hardly have enough to turn on the lights.
Yes.
And we wonder why.
Why?
Why that America is sinking every day in despair. The moral climate is declining every day. I told my folks at home a few days ago, I said, listen, folks, I guess it was Sunday I was preaching. And God gave me a message on Acts 2:39. It's for you and for your children. And I'm telling you, I preach for about an hour and 10 minutes, as hard as I ever preached in my life. And I said, God is saying, give me your children, because the world is winning them over.
Right.
Amen. They'll miss revival for T-ball. They'll miss revival and vacation Bible school because they get involved in a world system. Yeah. Amen. The school system, the park commission system. Yeah. Amen. The state's got this going, and government's got that going, and Caesar is not a friend of the church. You hear me tonight. The church is still the church, and Caesar is still Caesar. Yeah. And God said, you give the Caesar what belongs to him. Yeah. And you give the God what belongs to him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I told my people, I said, God burdened me. We just finished a 10th year in a Christian school. In our church, we fought more devils in 10 years than I fought in the previous 20. When you start devoting your time to the next generation to train them, the devil doesn't like that. And I said, God called me to help you to have a ministry in this church to raise the next generation. And God said, Abraham, you give me your son. He said, you can have him. And I said, God has laid a message on my heart, and I'm asking for your children on Wednesday night. When we have a youth program here, and we were retired of classes, and I teach the adults out front, and everybody goes to their segregated classes according to age and so forth. And I said, revival time, I'm saying, give me your children, because we're not just turning on the lights to have some place to go. When we have something in this place, it's ordained of God. Amen. It's in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You hear me tonight?
Yes.
If we announce a revival, it's because we've heard from heaven.
Yes.
Amen. But we're not going to be able, the church is not going to be able to help the parents to meet the demand and the pressure and the need and the establish the foundation if you don't give us your children.
Yes.
I've seen us lose a generation from Pentecost.
Right.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Old time Pentecostal prayer. Dedication to God. You didn't even change jobs. Back, I can remember in the 50s, you didn't make any moves unless you prayed about it.
Right.
Amen.
They said, you got to talk to God. James said, don't say we're going to go in the city and buy and sell and get gain. He said, you say, if God will.
It's God's will.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to know if it's God's will is get down and do some praying about it.
Yes. Praying fast.
We've had so many folks miss God, walk off here in Yonah for a dollar an hour or 50 cents an hour raise or a quarter and lose their soul. Go into a place that didn't even have a church.
Yes.
And sell out. No wonder Jesus said, what would you give in exchange for your soul?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But I'm telling you about a church that sold possessions. They didn't have to have all the toys. They didn't have to have all of the material possessions.
Ooh, this is...
They didn't have to have, amen, robes by the dozens hanging in a closet to wear.
Yes.
They accomplished the will of God in prayer and in fasting and humility. Jesus, as far as I know, had one robe. If he had any more, I've never found in history or the Bible. Amen. But I'm telling you one thing. No greater man that ever lived, no greater life has ever been lived on this earth than what was lived in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God.
He
never had any real estate. He never had a CD in the bank. He never made himself famous. He was rejected his own people. But I'm telling you, there was never a man as made like this man. And when he walked into town, he was God manifest in the flesh. When he laid hands on the sick, they got healed. Hallelujah to God. And I'm saying to you tonight, friend, amen, that what's in this black bag, look, it belongs to the church of the living God. And it's time we tell the devil to get out of the way. Amen. Let's get rid of our pride and get rid of our ego and get rid of our worldly ambition and trying to please everybody around us. Amen. God called us to do one thing. He said, I called you to please him that has made you a soldier.
There's
only one captain of our salvation. And when review time comes, we're all going to stand before him. And he's the one that's going to make the final decision. It's not what your neighbor down the road thought and how you impressed somebody. I'm going to tell you this in closing. If we only knew how little we impress folks, we got a man in our city. His daddy left him a great deal of wealth. His daddy, when maybe in World War II, got into the propane business and other business ventures, was very successful. And died years ago. And this fellow came up. He went to the University of Mississippi there at Oxford, 30 miles from us. Got his degrees in business and has been pretty successful himself. But he had a lot of things handed to him. And he has always, somehow or another, had this ego. He's got to have everything a little bit better. His home's got to be a little bit bigger than anybody's in town. He drives, besides a Continental, his wife Cadillac, he's got a Jaguar. He's got one of those 735 BMW deals, about $80,000. And I don't know what all, my God, and he's got this. And you can't talk to him around the coffee shop 5 minutes. He's talking about my money. That, you know, if this folks get sick, they go to, was it Rochester, Minnesota, to Mayo's Clinic? I mean, there's not a hospital south. You know, he's just one of these fellows that this has just got to be, you know, at the very top, everything. And he's on the bank board. He's bought his way here, bought his way there, and all that. But behind his back, I hear more folks putting him down because his head is so high in the clouds.
Listen,
he dresses immaculately. He buys the finest of things. I mean, his house is like a hotel and all that. But I'm telling you one thing: if that man only knew the negative effect that he has on his so-called friends and how little they really respect him, he could have probably saved $500,000 through the years on the things he had bought.
Amen.
He impressed people.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
You don't do it that way.
No.
We don't have to have all this kind of stuff the world has. But God's people have gone mad over buying and getting and possessing. Come on, church.
Yes.
I'm telling you, these people love God. They love the cause. They had the burden. And oh, my prayer to God tonight is that God could turn us around, that we could learn how to be content. Amen to God. And get the burden one more time to have a move of God.
Oh,
and I know you're in a remote area here, but God's got people all around here. The Holy Ghost can still draw this place.
Amen.
There were many things happening on Fish River in 1948. 4 miles out of Fairhope, Alabama. But I'm going to tell you, 3 or 4 men of God banded themselves together in fasting and prayer. And the Holy Ghost started moving. And we had a Holy Ghost revival, baptized 21 in Jesus' name. And out of that, 3 of them made ministers of the gospel.
Listen.
Amen to God. But we might have never been rescued if somebody hadn't had the burden. There was no big organization. There was no home missions department that guaranteed them any kind of salary. Amen. Brother Latham, I've heard him tell many a time, he walked 15 miles one way and put cardboard in the sole of his shoes to get to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the late 20s and the early 30s. Amen. He didn't do it for the dollar, friend. He didn't have on Hickey Freeman suits to try to impress somebody. He just came there. Amen. And Brother Davis and those men, they came there and got together and sought the face of God in fasting and prayer. And God began to move. I'm telling you, that's all we need tonight.
Amen.
Is the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need to try to impress this world. Amen. This world has seen all the facade. They've seen all of the fakery and the vanity. They want to see something that's really real. Amen. They want to find some real people that love God. God and manifest a love toward them because their needs are spiritual and not material. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Amen to God. Let us stand tonight. I'd like them to come back to the piano and maybe sing a song for us tonight. I want God to get a hold of our hearts. I want the Lord to squeeze our hearts until we can weep a few tears and say, God, you give me that old time religion, Lord. God, you help me, Lord, to be the kind of my child of God that I need to be. Help me, oh Lord. Help me, oh God, tonight to be a witness of this Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. If there's somebody in this room that needs the Holy Ghost tonight, I believe you can get it here because God is in this place.
Stand up beside Paul or John or Peter.
Yay.